Make It Right, the manufacturing podcast.
When you look at the manufacturing supply chain, pretty much each link in the chain has a supplier and a customer. Each wants to get what they need from their suppliers so they can sell their product to their customers. And each wants to grow their business. But over the last number of years, customers' needs and expectations have changed. And so attracting customers has changed as well. Welcome to the Make It Right podcast. I'm Janet Eastman, and today my guest is Todd Hockenberry. Todd helps B2B business owners and leaders understand that mission matters, culture is destiny, and the way prospects and customers want you to market, sell, and service them is changing. As the owner and founder of Top Line Results, he helps companies figure out how to do that. Todd's also the co-author of Inbound Organization, How to Build and Strengthen Your Company's Future Using Inbound Principles. I'm really pleased to have him join us on the podcast. Welcome to the show, Todd.
Thank you, Janet. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, I think we're going to have a really interesting conversation, and I want to know right off the top, how have companies changed the way they want to be marketed and sold to? What's the big change?
Well, I almost feel like this is a cliche. Everybody's been talking about this for a few years. Obviously, the internet's certainly the thing that's changed how people buy virtually everything, right? And I usually just pull my phone out of my pocket and show it to people and say, think about how everything you essentially buy has changed. And clearly we see that with the Amazon effect, right? Where you're used to having this very personalized experience where there's very strong recommendations based on your behavior and your likes and your previous purchasing patterns. And there's a really easy to use interface and the transaction's simple and fast and it's kind of fun and helpful, right? So these ideas, this kind of Amazon effect, which we all know, is really changing how people feel about all the purchases, whether they're in it's a personal one or a B2B purchase, right? We see this in virtually every industry we've worked in. And I actually think that's more of kind of a 10 to 15 year change. I actually think in the last year or two, it's actually accelerated. I think that what we're seeing is that people's busyness and time and expectations in terms of how they purchase virtually anything, whether it's large capital equipment purchases, services, software, you name it, our expectations have just gone through the roof in terms of ease of use, the kind of experience we want, the expectations of how to communicate with a company and connect with them. We want to buy from people that understand us and that create this experience that's a differentiator, right? Ultimately, I believe B2B buyers want the companies they buy from to have the company's sales process be a competitive differentiator. Buyers want to work with companies that have a sales process that's easy. For example, the old days, the sales training was oftentimes, salespeople would be trained on discovery and needs identification, and they would be trained to ask lots of questions, right? Well, the executives that I talk to and the buyers that I talk to, they don't want me to be on the call asking them a bunch of questions about their business. They expect that I already know it, that I know their business, that I know their issues, and I'm bringing expertise to the table to say to them, here's what you need to do. Here's opportunities for you to grow. Here's opportunities to solve these problems that maybe you didn't think of. I deal a lot with inbound marketing and digital marketing and helping B2B companies kind of reimagine that. And they don't expect me to come in and ask them how they're doing that. They expect me to come in knowing what to do and coming in with recommendations. So I think people's expectations of the people they buy from have just gone through the roof. And I don't blame them, because the reality is most of the information that previous generations of salespeople and marketing people could find out is all available to them if they just do it, right? People don't want to be sold to by lazy salespeople. They want people that are professionals, that are peers, that understand their business and can come in and hit the ground running and push them in a direction maybe they didn't think they wanted to go. So we talk a lot about people want to be helped and educated. They don't really want to be sold. So this is why we talk a lot about culture and your mindset and your mission, because if you're not creating a business that's focused on educating and helping first, then you're going to struggle with the modern buyer.
So how are you making that initial contact then to that customer? You're not waiting for them to come around. So how do you start that relationship then?
Yeah, I think there's a misnomer a little bit about relationship selling. And I think the issue is the relationship is not first, the relationship comes later. So the reality is roughly something like 97 or 96% of B2B sales start with an online search. There's all kinds of data around that. I don't think that's even controversial anymore. That's natural. We understand that. We do that. We all do that. So the question is, what do people find when they search? Do they even find you? And if they do, what do they find? Have you thought it through and used your marketing and your website space, your digital footprint to help people and to educate and to share relevant information? Or are you just talking about your product? Are you talking about you? Is your website all a bunch of pictures of your equipment or your machines or your factory floor? Or is it about the problems you solve in your customers? So most sales are going to start with some type of search, but we also work with our clients to help them use kind of modern inbound ideas to actually make outbound calls. So cold calling, while I would never do a real straight up cold call, I would always recommend a warm call. If you know your audience and you know how you help them and you know you can improve their business, then you have an obligation almost to focus, reach out, and connect with those people that can use your help the most. It's not a spray and pray or just a dialing for dollars kind of thing. We're talking about using all your marketing to kind of educate, help, and connect. And salespeople are really important to that in terms of building the relationship. Once you connect with somebody online or you connect with them on LinkedIn, you have an opportunity to start helping them. So you're not going to build that relationship up front. I believe that the relationship comes after you've shared value and after you've helped people. It's not that you're going to share stories about playing golf together or going fishing and all of a sudden they're going to buy from you. No, people aren't going to waste time on that. What they're going to do is they're going to look and see if you've actually helped them, if you've given them new context to their problems, have you brought them helpful information, tools, research, ideas that can help them move their process, their business, their strategies forward. And if you do that, you then earn the right to sell to them. And if you do sell, then you have to keep doing it, right? You have to create a great experience where you make things easy for them, save them time, and then you can start migrating and moving into higher levels of value, like improving their business and helping them execute better and helping them build differentiation. And then ultimately, if you can help them drive their business growth and their internal improvements that help make them a better company, that help them attract more people, now you've reached kind of the highest level of value. And as you do that, you build a relationship. The relationship to me comes after, it doesn't come before. And unless you bring value and you bring something unique to the table, you don't even get a chance to build a relationship.
Yeah. Okay. So we are all individuals, and the very first thing in our head is always to talk about us. So when you're a manufacturer or whatever, the whole thing is we got to talk about how great we are so people understand it and they want to do business with us. We all know that doesn't work because the guy on the other end of the phone or who's looking at your website doesn't care about you. They care about them and they want to know that you're answering their needs. So what do you tell a manufacturer to put on their website so they do get that attention of a possible customer?
Yeah, one of the first things companies will almost always say, and executives will almost always say to me, well, we prioritize the customer. That's what we're focused on, right? We're all customer oriented. It's kind of almost a cliche or kind of a no-brainer. Of course we do that. And then we look at their websites, like you said, and you realize that this is all about them. They're talking about their product. They're listing the industries they serve. They're showing equipment, right? It's very spec and product focused. And the reality is what should be there is really the outcomes that you deliver, the outcomes your equipment brings or your service brings or whatever it is, and really what they get out of it, right? So you need to understand who that person is that's potentially could use your solution. So that's what we call a persona, which is understanding kind of the individual person who is looking for your help and how you help them. And then also partly about how they buy, right? So you're going to know whether it's a short-term purchase or it's a long-term purchase that requires budgeting. You're going to understand if there's a lot of other groups involved, whether you're going to need to bring in operations or you need to bring in the IT team, right? All these things are going to be reflected in your marketing. because your marketing is going to be about how you help them and how you deliver benefits and value to them and how you make their life easier, right? So it's could be even about your sales process, right? It could be about how you help them go through these steps faster. We had a client once that made gearboxes for small electronic equipment. It was a very kind of niche component business. And we work with them to try to understand their unique value and their differentiation. And what we found was that it wasn't about technology and it wasn't about product, even though the products were very good. What the differentiation was they had figured out how to make prototypes very quickly. And why that was important was that companies that were trying to bring their products to market needed to go through the prototyping stage. And it was oftentimes very lengthy. There was tooling involved, designs. And what they had, my client had figured out how to do was to compress that cycle and do it very inexpensively and quickly. So that's what they promoted on their website and their marketing, that they could help not just make prototypes quickly, but the outcomes of that. The outcomes of that was that their clients could go to market faster. They could reduce the costs in the product development cycles. They could reduce the errors and potential delays that impacted an entire supply chain. So they brought value that was different than the product that had to do with the journey and the experience their customer went on. And that's what they focused on. And if you don't, as a company, figure those types of things out, then what happens is you have no choice but to fall back on your product and tell everybody how great you are. And the reality is, folks, you're probably not that great when it comes to product and service. Differentiation on those levels is really hard to find. And it's really hard to do. In most industries, there's a lot of competition and good quality, good service, good delivery are kind of table stakes. And you're not even in business unless you can do that. So the reality is people aren't anywhere near as customer focused as they should be. And I would just challenge people to say, look at the interactions you have in your daily life with people you're buying from and people your companies you're interacting with. Do you really feel like they're putting you first? I don't feel that very often.
Mm-hmm. How do you find that sweet spot as a company, as a manufacturer or whatever? How do you find that sweet spot for the reason that your customers are coming back to you? Do you talk to them and ask them, or like, how do you help them find that?
Well, yeah, you've got to be there in front of them. And I'm constantly surprised at when I ask that question. I ask my clients or potential clients if they're surveying their customers, they're asking them about the journey and asking about the experience. And I get a surprisingly low response to that in terms of people that are actually interacting with customers and asking those kind of questions. I actually had I was doing a survey with some sales team, and I was asking them to go back to their last 10 or 15 sales and ask their customers why they bought. And most of the salespeople did it, and they came back with a bunch of great feedback. And it was very insightful, really, to think about it from that perspective, not why you bought this equipment, but why you picked us, right? So it's a very interesting kind of dynamic when you ask that question. I had one salesperson that just kept kind of putting me off and wasn't asking the questions or wasn't giving any feedback. And finally, I just called him on the carpet. I'm like, why aren't you doing this? And he said, I'm afraid they'll change their mind. And I love that answer. I said, well, that's very honest. But I think that's, to me, a very common attitude that I feel like people are just like, oh, I don't want to bug them. Like, I sold it, it's out the door. Let's not bother anybody. We'll just have service, wait until they call and see if there's something wrong, and then we'll take care of it. It's exactly the opposite. So whatever you're doing, you have to be super proactive in going back to those people that have bought from you and understanding why they bought from you, where you were good, where you needed to improve. And in that process, you're going to find other opportunities to deliver more value and solve more problems and start the cycle all over again. And that's when you're going to get a relationship going, when you come back and you're bringing more value and you're helping them solve more problems and get better and improve, right? It's an ongoing cycle. And again, it sounds so simple, but in practice, I see a lot of companies that get stuck and don't do that. I actually had a client, this is a funny story. They made very large capital equipment, and they were in the consumer packaged food goods industry. And we started working with them. And one of the first things we wanted to do is we wanted to start communicating with their customers and creating an email campaign to really educate and help and support customers. So we said, okay, how big is your customer database? And they kind of were like, well, you know, we're not sure. And what it turned out was they didn't even have all the contacts that had their equipment. They didn't even have a customer list that they could say was 100% complete, right? They literally didn't even know where their stuff was. So again, you laugh, but it is not as uncommon as you would think. So again, that's where we would start. We would say, look, how are you marketing to your customers? How are you connecting with them, engaging with them, talking to them, learning from them, and getting better? And if you're not doing that, that's got to be one of the first things you do.
So when you get a company to change its mindset on this, what's the impact?
Well, it's huge. It's huge because if you change the way you think and think that your mission is really about serving that customer and solving their problems. And again, I like to talk about mission because it's something that companies either really get and they're really passionate about, or they're very like, well, it's on the wall in the lobby and that thing, I don't, well, what is it? I don't know. I'm not sure what it is, right? Or I just did a workshop with a company, a very large publication company brand, and the CEO was in this workshop, and there's about 40 people there. And I asked them, it was one of my first questions. I said, well, what's your mission? Can anybody tell me what the company's mission is? And the only person who raised their hand was the CEO. It was great. It was perfect. It was like, well, there you go. We're going to address this issue, right? You have a mission, right? But these people have a job. And if you don't have a mission that everybody can point to and make their decisions and put their job and their work in that context, then what you end up doing is you have a bunch of different people go in different directions, or they have different motivations, or they have different goals. And then you get stuck in politics or bureaucracy or administrative stuff, and you're not thinking about the customer. So what changes is, first of all, your kind of the employee kind of engagement and the employee focus really goes up in mission-driven companies. And there's some, I don't have it at my fingertips, but I know there's some data out there that says that mission-driven companies perform significantly better in terms of stock valuation and sales growth and virtually all metrics, including things like customer or employee retention. Hmm. So you see a mission-focused company matters, right? And I teach a class at Stetson University here in Central Florida. It's Intro to Sales. And what I've found is when I ask these kids what they want to do with their lives, where they want to go, right? They're looking to make an impact. So they want to work for companies. They want to work in industries where they can make a difference. And that's mission-driven companies, right? It's just different, right? When I came out of college, I just wanted to get a job and make some money and pay my bills. And I didn't think about mission. I thought more about, you know, my personal kind of growth or my specific job. But people want to be part of something that's not just punching the clock. They want to be part of something that's really trying to do something. And that's where mission comes in, right? It can be a guide and a kind of the target for everybody within the company to focus on. And that keeps your decisions from getting focused on things like just numbers, right? I mean, I can't tell you how many companies I work with that they're managed and their goals are the numbers, right? Make these calls, you know, get this many blog posts written, go to these trade shows, right? And it's not connected to any specific outcome other than getting these things done. I mean, you have to do those things, but there's got to be a context, right? So to me, a mission drives kind of employee engagement. And there's no culture that's a bad culture that delivers a great experience for customers. You have a bad culture, your customers are going to have a bad experience. It's just that simple. Right? If your employees aren't happy, then your customers aren't going to be happy. And the question it's in the book, people ask, is your customer come first or your employees come first? And we ask this of a guy at HubSpot who was my co-author, works at HubSpot. So we talked to a lot of folks there. And this gentleman said, well, do you love your mother or do you love your wife? Mm-hmm. And I love that answer because the reality is you have to put both first because it's people. And leadership in companies needs to put their employees first and give their employees a culture and the resources and the systems to be able to take care of the customer. So they're your employees, your team, their job is to focus on the customer. So number one, you get this employee engagement and you get this healthy culture where really positive things can happen. And then you're going to grow because you're going to create a better experience. Your customers are going to be more loyal. Your customers are going to help you sell. They're going to promote you. They're going to give you recommendations. They're going to give you good reviews and rankings, right? Your customers are going to drive your growth because they're going to want to share with their audience how great you guys are. And then you're going to, again, you're going to see, you should see increased revenue, right? If you're focused on the right audience and you're taking care of them and creating a great experience, then you can create loyal customers that stick around longer, and you're going to grow. And it's just going to be a much more interesting, healthy place to be. And then you'll see other things like you'll see employee retention will go up. People will be knocking on your door to come and work for you. And again, there's lots of other benefits.
Right. And then people, if people are knocking on your door to come and work for you, presumably your customers are coming and knocking on the door too, because they realize that you're a great company to work with.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. So I have two more questions for you, Todd. So if you gave me five tips on how to get really started down this path, I'm guessing one is set that mission and let your employees know about it. But just give me a couple of tips here that we can take. And then I want you to tell me a story about how this shift in focus really impacted a company.
Sure. Sure, Janet. My pleasure. There's a lot of things you need to do to get started. But number one, you've got to look at that mission, like you said. You've got to look at it and say, are we all pointing in the same direction? Right? Are we all, you know, rowing the boat in the same direction and focused on the same thing? That's a really, really critical. Then I would say you've got to look at your culture and you've got to analyze, you know, where do you spend your time? Is it all CYA, or is it focused on giving people the resources and the opportunities to go take care of customers in a healthy way? Are you giving your people the freedom and the authority and the responsibility to go do that? I think you need to shop yourself, right? You've got to look at yourself from the outside, right? I mean, what leader of a company wants the first contact with somebody when you pick up the phone and call them to be the crazy, ridiculous phone mail chains that I can't stand? I mean, who likes that? I mean, it's little things like that, right? Look at how you touch your customers in every way and be objective about it. Ask them, are we treating you the way you want to be treated? So again, it's talk to your customers, ask them why they buy from you and really understand that. I think the fourth one would be, I would say, again, look at your specific activities in terms of how you are communicating with your customers, following up on inquiries, service encounters. Really understand that, and again, make sure it's to their benefit and it's about improving their situation and not necessarily just checking a box on some form internally to you. And then I would look at how you market to your customers, right? And that. Marketing typically doesn't think about marketing to customers. They typically think about generating net new and driving new people in. I would look at how you communicate and market to your customers. Are you helping them in an ongoing way? Are you sharing information and context so that they continue to get better and better? Because if you're not, you're really at risk for somebody coming in and doing that and going after your customers. So in terms of how what we would call inbound organization ideas, how they've helped shift and really impact a company. I work with a small manufacturer of capital equipment in Indiana, and I just visited them last week, and we've been working together for about 6 months. And when we showed up, they were very flat sales. They had lost some employees. They were in a tough market. They were really competing with a very large international company. They were relatively small, so they had some really big challenges. So we got them to really understand that they had to create a unique mission that was based on their customer and based on educating the customer in a way that they weren't being educated and helped by this very large kind of global company. Then they started to translate that to their marketing, where they were creating not product-based marketing, but really kind of the outcome solution, how you can improve your business with our products type marketing. And then they got their sales team focused on creating amazing content that was really built from their customer's perspective that would help them really understand how they should think about their company and how they should think about using this equipment, not their specific equipment, but how using this equipment could, in a different way, could really drive revenue and save time and reduce their costs on how they ran their projects. So really kind of flipped the whole thinking around based on how they compared to this very large global company. And in that 6 months, they've seen significant growth. I think they're up about 30% this year over last year. And they're looking at seeing something around 35 to 40% overall growth for the year with a significant upside on the back end of that, right? They're just kind of getting going. And so, I mean, it turns around a company when you do this right. It can change everybody's focus. It changes the people you bring in. So now instead of just bringing in people that may have industry experience like they did in the past, now they're bringing in people that really can add to this culture and that are people that are really passionate about helping people and educating and serving them. And they're seeing a significant improvement in terms of their just overall business and their overall kind of growth rate. So it's kind of changed the arrow for this company in a significant way. And we got lots of stories like that. And when companies buy in, that's what happens, right? You see immediate impacts on the day-to-day operations and then on the performance of the company overall.
Wow. And that's just over the course of 6 months.
Yes.
That's amazing. Wow, Todd, this has been a really interesting conversation. Thank you very much for your insights today.
My pleasure. I'm thrilled to be here. I appreciate you taking the time to have me today, and I love what you're doing.
Yeah, well, hopefully we'll get a chance to talk again sometime. Have a good day.
Thank you very much.
That is Todd Hockenberry. He is the founder and owner of Top Line Results and the co-author of Inbound Organization, How to Build and Strengthen Your Company's Future Using Inbound Principles. You can find it on Amazon. That's our show for today. If you've got a topic you'd like us to discuss, please get in touch. We're at makeitrightpodcast@gmail.com. You can also find us on Twitter, LinkedIn, and YouTube, and follow us from the various links on the podcast page at lucidi4.com. I'm Janet Eastman. Thanks very much for listening to the Make It Right podcast.